प्यार का सागर है, तू प्यार का सागर है, तेरी एक बूंद के प्यासे हम, तेरी एक बूंद के प्यासे हम, लौटा जो दिया तूने, लौटा जो दिया तूने, चले जाएंगे जहां से हम, चले जाएंगे जहां से हम।
Very deep Om Shanti. So it's a very beautiful song, and whether it's these songs, but these of course in particular, but all the songs of the remembrance of that very true and deep love that the soul has for God, someone who experiences that is able to express it through the pure bhakti that they do, because you know, now of course is not the time for bhakti, but when we didn't know God, bhakti was something very beautiful because it expressed a very deep, a sacred link that was not possible with the world, whether humans or nature or whatever. And so when that deep love is very, very strong and very, very real, then when it's expressed, it's very beautiful. So remember, this is the whole thing of the cycle. It's very important to understand timing, because there's a time for everything. Now it's not the time for bhakti because we have knowledge. That doesn't mean that bhakti was never useful. It was very useful. I remember even in this life, actually, I did it, jumping in holy rivers, and they're telling me I would miraculously stay dry, but I didn't, you know what I mean? You know, going to the Ganges at 19 and thinking this is the sacred water, and but the reality was it was so smelly, you know, and it was so dirty. But, you know, something in the soul remembered a pure time of doing it, you know? So everything is to do with timing, and therefore timing has got to do with appropriateness. It's not appropriate now, but it was appropriate then. And I remember when speaking to Baba, talking about, you know, the countries I was an instrument in, and I said, you know, there's so much in bhakti and don't listen really to knowledge. He says, doesn't matter. He said, I remember him telling me this, never tell them to stop doing bhakti. And now he said, but if you have the power of yoga, they will be able to get experiences, and that they would gently move away from all of it, you know? So, it's up to me again. Remember that story? I don't know if David was telling us once. I've told some of you, but I remember this one sister, you know, she came up today and she was complaining, you know, said, you know, how can we build self-confidence in this institution? How can we build self-respect? Whatever good is done, Baba does it. Whatever goes wrong, it's my fault. So again, you know, it's a matter of a really subtle understanding and timing. This is why nothing is black and white. Even the four ages, you know, we have white age, a golden age, a silver age, a copper age, an iron age, and now, you know, many shades that require. Because today's topic is about actually Brahma Baba, but also before that, and it's something Brahma Baba, he himself learned, was, you know, subtlety in the intellect. Subtlety in the intellect, it comes from humility. That is the capacity to be open. That's humility. Subtlety in the intellect comes from having a benevolent disposition. You know, I will tend to believe more than not believe in people. I will tend to trust people rather than not trust them. You know, this makes us subtle. And in that subtlety, in that benevolence, in that trust, in that openness, I must never fear that others will take advantage of it. You know, where there's a good intention, others cannot take advantage of my heart, and they cannot damage me. They maybe shake me a bit, but not damage. And, you know, never to give the excuse, oh, but this might happen, and that might happen, and this might go wrong, and I may be fooled, I may be deceived. You know, and even if I am, you know, if you're good-hearted and clean-hearted, you are resilient. Good intention, right intention, honest intention, not perfect intention, because I don't think anybody, yeah, to have something perfect I think is a bit abstract, but an honest intention makes you resilient. And it's a very important, I don't know if you, again, I'm not sure sometimes where you call words virtues or attitude or powers, but resilience is a very important power or attitude to have, that is to get up again. Right? Like I remember living in Australia when the eucalyptus trees were burnt to a charcoal, you know, and then rain came and all these red shoots came out, you know. The sap was fire resistant, the roots went down to find their nourishment. Resilient, they were resilient. And nature is very resilient and adaptable. Rather than staying in a position of, you know, blame or bad feeling or feeling victimized or feeling oppressed. No. Resilience means I go beyond that. And I remember very much once, Daddy, some people talking to her about people being oppressed by others, you know, and how terrible the oppressors were. I don't know if it was a domestic situation, I'm not too sure, but I think it was. And Daddy once said, but what is it in the soul that allows the other to oppress them continuously? It's an interesting question. What is it in the soul that allows others, somebody, to oppress them continuously? So, by the end of Iron Age, we're a bit mangled and bungled and bandaged, you know. I think it's important to actually acknowledge that reality. Because then I'm not too upset or worried or lose confidence. Mom says, look, you've come to a hospital, it's a clinic, it's a school, it's a clinic, it's also a family. And somebody told me, I prefer to be in a clinic. So it's the time now to access Baba directly. And I think it's so, you know, wisdom and maturity is, I never lose sight of this fact of time. It's a fact of time that it's easier for the soul to access the Supreme, the Divine, and be empowered by it, and take responsibility for that relationship, and take responsibility for the change and for whatever service has to be done. And Baba tells us subtle things. For example, success. He often says, success is not the result. Success, real success, comes from the intention you hold in your heart. If your intention is clean, you are always successful. Even if externally things don't go so well, there is contentment. There is confidence. But see, some, you know, in a world like today, we have a lot of wrong evaluations of things. And this is why people everywhere, they're trying to prove themselves all the time. And then if it comes over into Brahmin life, then I'm trying to prove how good a server I am by you know, 1, 2, 3, you know them all, you know. I don't have to go into it. And Baba says, you don't have to prove yourself, you have to be yourself. It's quite different. But we are conditioned that what I am is, you know, what I do, who I know, what result there is in this, you know, contentment that can never come. This is why I always like this word in Gyan, equanimity. Equanimity, everything in balance, in harmony, equanimity. Praise, defamation, equanimity. So where do you get the equanimity from? Because we're so used to getting it from praise, actually. It's very deep, huh? My sense of valuing myself often comes from a result from praise. But equanimity will come when I experience both myself in my original state and my father, the connection with my father. And the problem again here is we hear these words very often. And so they become kind of... Have you heard the word dead letter? You know, it's a dead letter, you know. Feel, experience your original qualities. Yeah. Connect with Baba. Yeah. Now, you know, sometimes people say... sometimes when there's a very chaotic situation, sometimes I have to tell both myself and others, no, really remember the Father. Release another energy. Well, I don't say release another energy, I just say remember the Father, because there's not time to go into long explanations. And you know what the person says? Yes, I'm doing that, but now give me a real solution. Yes? But because we don't really remember. And that subtle energy is not released in the atmosphere that can integrate things. We don't really do it consistently. You know, Baba talks about atomic warfare and this and that, but you know, Baba says you've got to concentrate on atmic release. Release the powers of the soul, the powers that harmonize, the powers that sustain, the powers that will create that harmony again. And the more you're connected, Baba says, the more you're connected with me, really strongly, more that this subtle energy, through the power of silence, is able to spread in the atmosphere. And the healing, the integration, the reconciliation begins there. Yet later on, there may be words, later on there may be other things, but the foundation is there. If the foundation is not subtle, then you cannot build the building of relationships. They won't be authentic enough. So there's that subtle foundation of attitude. Baba brought it up in the Muli. Attitude, thoughts, feelings. And I think also what I really want from all of this. Then what do I want from this Brahmin life? Because that makes me revise things. So heroes, angels, and you know, deities always—they have subtle power. They use subtle silence. That, and the basis of subtlety definitely is purity. What's purity? There's no selfish pull. There's no selfish gap in the heart or in the mind. It's full. It's fully rounded. It's complete. Heroes. Baba says, you're a hero when you connect with the zero. And zero means there's nothing. Nothing. You know, zero, you can't multiply, subtract, at least as far as I know in mathematics. Things may change, you know, in science now things change, but when I was at school, many moons ago, zero stood on its own. No multiplication, no subtraction, no addition, nothing. nothing's there, nothing else except that purity. And so the hero is the one that has been able, sometimes we say conquering the self, but it's much more than that. The hero is the one who's had the confidence to return back to its original dignity as a soul. To return back to an original dignity of the personal existence. They can be themselves. They have the courage to be themselves. The hero. And then the hero has the power to make the impossible possible. Usually in myths they show the hero, fighting all kinds of dragons and, rescuing. But as in the song, the first song we heard, it was, "Where do I go? Where do I go and find you?" And so the hero is given the compass of where to go and follows that compass, because heroism depends on two things. Well, many things actually, but amongst those things, especially, it is humility and creativity. And often Baba puts those two things together. Because, if you don't have humility, you're stuck on, "I know, I feel, I understand, I see," and all of this. Humility is creating that space, and in that space, there's the creativity. And in that creativity, renewal. This is what a hero can do. And in the song it says, "I just thirst for one drop of you, the ocean." And the hero drinks the whole lot. And heroes are always, honored. And again, in the myths, the hero is always helped by a particular god or goddess giving a helping hand, Why? Because they see the pure-heartedness. A hero cannot get divine assistance without being clean-hearted. In any mythology in the world, this is usually what happens. And so the god or goddess always give them something in order to, be victorious. That victory is not only for the self. The victory of the hero means a benevolence for many, 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 many souls. The true hero is this. And so Baba says, be heroes, but not for glory, not for honor, but for, be Mahadani, generous. Think of others. In this way you can think of others. Because there's two ways to think of others, judgments and comparisons. But there's another way to think of others, caring. A hero cares. And will not feel fulfilled if they only find peace for themselves. Or they got their blessing from God, but they would always wish to share those blessings. They would always feel that, others also can have these blessings. So a hero has a very, very, very big heart. Bhavna, a lot of bhavna. Very deep faith. Things happen, with a lot of loving faith. Loving faith, of course, and combined with a wise intellect, it could really do wonders. And then angels, now is the time of heroes and angels. Brahmins, heroes and angels, these three. And I think we've got a lot of descriptions of angels, we know quite a bit about it, but when I think of Brahma Baba too, I think of, Saint Michael, because in the myths of the Western religions, or the Middle East and Western religion, Michael is the one who is called the one who is like God, and Krishna is like God. That's why they mix it up. And though in Greek angel means the messenger, in the Hebrew I think it meant something with the shining ones, the bright ones. So that's a very beautiful memory. You see, bhakti is like bhakti has taken, you know, photographs of the ancestor souls, the ones who were the support of the world, and they remember with enormous gratitude. Now, a lot of bhakti is based on deep thankfulness, whether it's for God, whether it's for a prophet soul, whether it's for, you know, angels, or there's a very deep thankfulness. And in bhakti, of course, in the copper and iron age, there's a deep sense of trust. I will definitely be helped. I will definitely help. And that comes, the ancestor souls have done this work, so they remember this. The people who receive that benefit remember it and then express it. And also Baba's children, when they get to the copper age, may, you know, immortalize a particular quality, because either they, usually they had that themselves and it was what made up the basis of their personality, it was their speciality. So you're having in India, you know, Santosh, the goddess contentment, Uma, the goddess of enthusiasm. They made enthusiasm into a goddess, imagine. Coolness, Sita, into a goddess, you know, so qualities that were highly valued and gave service are remembered. Does the ancestor souls do this? And I remember, you know, like in Greece, the mythology, they have all kinds of gods, goddesses, and one for wisdom, one for light, another for music, and all of that. But they, you know, bhakti is mixed up. So it was not the gods and goddesses in their pure form, you know. So, you know, they're fighting with each other and who's the most wise and who's the most beautiful and who's the most this, you know, it's very human. But there was one who never got into any fights or anything. Her name was Hestia or Vesta, you know? Always very peaceful. She kept her peace no matter what happened. And gradually she became the goddess of every home. And she was symbolized in the form of light. And it went over to Italy as well as Vesta, you know? And why? Because this was the harmonizing goddess. And she would step down, you know, when there's a god who wanted the position in the 12. She said, yeah, you can have it, fine, you know. She had no complexes. no complexes, yeah. It's good to find, because most of the, you know, when you read the myths, they're pretty complex, some of the gods and goddesses. But, you know, it's human projection. So, you know, all of that world. And so now, you know, the cycle has been spinning, a very beautiful cycle. Baba says, be Trikaldashi, you know, see eternity. Often he says, be Trikaldashi, let the cycle of time spin in the intellect. And what's the advantage of this? That, you know, the cycle of time spins in the intellect, I'm aware of eternity. I think this is where Kikloth therapy begins. You know, Kiklo, we said Bob was a psychotherapist. So psychotherapy begins there. Because when I keep eternity in my intellect, I'll never be dramatic about the drama. I won't get caught up in trivial things. Because, you know, we usually, sometimes we go down in our stage because we get caught up in trivial things, little things. And so, here we are at the end of the cycle, and you know, Baba's up there. Have you ever thought of the first thoughts that Baba had when he had to come down? Huh? Yeah, but a bit before that. Yeah, he did create the subtle regions, but even for that to happen, you know, Baba, God, responded to the great sorrow of his children. His first impulse was, you know, great compassion. And, you know, and for all his children. Yeah, there were the older children whom he realized he had to educate so they could help the younger brothers and sisters. But it was the sanskar of a very deep concern and compassion with all the things that were happening here in the drama that pulled him, as it does every cycle. You know, always amused or intrigued. You know, Bob says, you know, according to the drama, I'm the instrument for purification. And I feel this is one of the things that keeps the purity of a soul, an instrument, is detached from the self. Even Baba is detached from himself. Because if he's not detached from himself, he would maybe give up. You know, teaching, giving, you know, the same teaching, doing this, doing that. He's detached. Which means it doesn't depend, he doesn't depend on the response. He just keeps flowing with the good feelings, the power, you know, all of this. It's his time now. So he's detached and flowing. And the more detached I am, the more flowing I am in terms of good feelings and good wishes. But if I have a need, I'll have an expectation. If I have an expectation, I'll have a judgment. All those three things go together, and I'll stop. You know, I've had enough patience, I've had enough benevolence, I've had enough this, you know. Again, it comes back to what we said yesterday about being complete. The more complete I am, the more detached I am, the more loving I can be, continuously. Ever flowing, this is the Supreme Soul's sanskar. And so, now Shiv Baba, you know, had to respond to the situation. And so he had to respond to the situation, and then he had to find somebody who responded to him. Because you can't plant a seed on cement. You know, it's got to be earth. It's got to be fairly good earth. And so Shiv Baba had to, you know, find, you know, as he does every kalpa, but you know, although it repeats, it's always new. You know, it's, that might take a little bit longer to explain, but anyway. And so he, you know, of course, he came to Brahma Baba, and Brahma Baba responded in the best way he could at that time, because he didn't understand everything at all, you know. He thought it was this, he was that. You know, we are all conditioned. Every single human soul in this drama has conditionings. And we are conditioned by culture, for example. But culture is a group expression. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, you know. We all live in a culture and it's a group expression. But then, you know, it devolves, there's opinions, there's ideas that are not quite accurate, but they enter the consciousness and they can be quite wrong in terms of codes. For example, you know, how women were treated in many cultures, you know, not just in the Indian culture. And it's a code. It's not based on the truth. It's universal values are based on a truth where it gives people freedom, respectfulness and equality. Social cultures are based on human interpretations of what's best, and it might be right off the mark, right off. So Shiv Baba coming into the Brahma Baba, and Brahma Baba responded in the best way he could. I mean, he didn't understand. You know, he also didn't understand a lot. He's a student. He got this wrong. He got that wrong. And Shiv Baba often says to the Malik, you know, don't tell me to explain this and this and this and this. You won't get it. You know, I'll do it gradually. Remember, it was recently in the Malik. I'll do it gradually. You know, because the intellect is thick, a little thick. It has to become more, you know, it has to become subtle. And so they didn't have many facts. They had a few basic facts, but you know, a lot of bhavna. And bhavna means also two things. On the positive side, the bhavna means you surrender and you trust. It's the very beautiful side of bhavna. And miracles can happen. You don't know what, you don't know how, you don't know when. So if it's the right bhavna, with time it shows certain realities are true. The bhavna that is not based on a certain purity of motives then can create, you know, blind obedience, superstition, you know, even prejudice against other beliefs, you know. Yeah, but mine is right. But you know, Baba has told us, to be right means to keep peace, to keep respect, to keep harmony. That's what it means to be right. Right is not to do with a belief. It's got to do with a behavior, how you behave towards others, non-violently, ahimsa. That was Shiv Baba's main, you know, one of, behind all the teaching, this basic teaching, non-violence, to your own mind, to your own body, to the people you live with, to Mother Nature. You know, that was, you know, that was basic thing, non-violence. That is, to put it in a positive way, deep respectfulness for all living things. Well, even non-living, like rocks and things like that. But, you know, the whole thing of respectfulness for the other, whatever that other is, that was a very basic teaching. And to begin all of this, you have to know who you are, and you're a soul. You're a soul. And so again, and even then, he said, you're a soul. That's all Shiv Baba said, because, you know, they didn't understand, like, is it a point? Is it a thumb shaped? Is it this? Is it? I remember, you know, when I was in Hungary, starting service there, it was a long time ago, just as we were coming out of communism, and I remember this student asking me a question in the class. You know, and I thought he was, or she was sort of trying to joke or make fun. And he said, you know, what color is God? What language does God speak? Is God he or she? Or maybe it? You know, these kind of questions. I realized they were serious. Actually, there were serious questions. And I realized too that actually when you don't have any knowledge at all, probably these are the best questions to ask. Where does God come from? What color is God? You know, this, that. Because, you know, people that think they believe in God have a whole tradition of misunderstandings and opinions that don't really connect with something truthful, and they think it's right and they keep it. And that's the problem with dogma, because, you know, dogmatic people are you know, they're usually quite violent. Dogmatic people are violent, rather narcissistic, and separate. They don't unify. So Baba says, told Brahma Baba and the others, your religion is not Hindu. Your religion is not this or that. Your religion is peace. The Om Shanti lesson. And your attachments to your husband or wife or children is, you know, like, it's a disrespect, because no one is an extension of you. All have their own right to be themselves. Attachment means you make others an extension of yourself. And that's why mine, you know? Did you remember, were you here for the class Daddy gave about avatars of love? I thought it was a really great expression. Avatars of love. Yeah, it's a fantastic expression. And I think this is the real the height of the angel. And but you know, it's like a building. You need scaffolding to hold things up for a while, and then gradually you take away the scaffolding, yeah? And the building remains on its own. And so when Baba was telling them, you know, cut away from this, cut away from that, some had the sense to understand it means a transformation of consciousness. Others took it literally. Because, you know, bhakti sanskars take things literally. They don't take things symbolically. They don't take things on a more subtle level. And so things can go in the wrong way. But for me, when I started, you know, when I started Raj Yoga, you know, there were some people I knew also were doing it, and remember they reacted to the thing, why God in Brahma Baba and all of this. Now this was not my big issue at all, because I always thought God can work in any way. I mean, I simply don't know. Because being very bhaktish, I knew many stories, so you just come to the conclusion God can work in any way. Who knows how? My bigger issue was not being able to eat fried onions and things like that. That was more of an issue. But I think the quality of Brahma Baba is response. How he responded. He didn't exactly know maybe even what he was getting into. Even though Shiv Baba gave him vision, did he really get it fully? Maybe a tenth. But something that he felt made him respond and trust. This is the whole thing of bhavna. There's a trust. And then gradually with that trust, intellect opens more and more and more. And then, you know, he started to understand. Started to understand gradually the things. A student does that. A student, when you go to become a doctor, you go to the medical school, you just know a few basic things at the beginning, and gradually you learn things. And so Brahma Baba was open to learning, open to changing, opening to do a lot of things. You know what happens, like in the Christian bhakti, or maybe even the Hindu, when they declare somebody a saint, they tend to eulogize the saint as though, you know, they were perfect from the beginning. And you know actually that, you know, they weren't. And that what makes the beauty more attractive. that they could change, that they could respond, that they had a click. Yeah? So, and the thing is also then my own relationship with Brahma. You know, even the angelic Brahma, you know, he sent, I think it was Dede Guzal or something, you know, to see who it was, you know. And even he didn't quite get it. So it had to be explained to him. But, but Brahma Baba was the, Shiv Baba the masculine principle, Brahma Baba the feminine principle. So they worked together to create. Because creation always depends on these, it's not a gender thing exactly. Usually it is, but on a higher level of spirituality, there's always these two principles that are working. So this is why Brahma Baba sometimes is referred to as the senior mother. He embodied that feminine principle of, you know, openness, of, you know, gestation of the knowledge, you know, giving birth, you know. To ideas and things like this. Yes, he had to really go into it, and he had to become the example. So as mother, as friend, as also in relation to the world, as father, dada, elder brother. So exploring these different relationships even with Brahma Baba, because Brahma Baba is the other half of spiritual service, you know, I mean, Shiv Baba could not do it by himself, and he requires all his instruments. It's a big orchestra. oboe, these violins. It's a big orchestra, different specialities. And they all are necessary. Every instrument is necessary. It's not the oboe is better than the violin. And it is difference that is greatly appreciated. You see, people often think harmony, they mix up the word, the meaning. Harmony and uniformity. It is not the same thing. Uniformity is always belongs to a very dogmatic system, whether it's sometimes the church, sometimes a communist system. That's called uniformity. Harmony is a different thing. Harmony is like in an orchestra. Or because the violins and the oboes, because the musical instruments are different, they can bring a harmony that is very beautiful. Yeah, an orchestra is not all violins, is it? Not the orchestras I've seen. You know, it's different. And that's how the spiritual service of the tree, wherever the tree is, has to happen in this way. There has to be difference. There cannot be uniformity. And then with that difference, then that speciality that is able to serve the whole tree. And this is what Bab Dada encourage. Because, you know, even wearing white, you know, white symbolizes cleanliness of intention, of mind. That's the real white, you know. It's not a problem to wear white, of course, fine. But I have to go always much deeper. Otherwise, if I don't go into the depth and to the subtlety, I will misunderstand. And I think there are sometimes shortcuts through adopting an external code or external ritual. Always, genuine spirituality means working from inside. And non-violence too. I mean, peaceful, honest, clear with the self. So the relationship also with Brahma Bab is very, very, very nourishing. It's nourishing. It's not a matter of being important. Not just, you know, people say it's important, it's necessary. It's nourishing. There are some words that are very beautiful in English. I don't know how they sound in other languages, but, you know, like nourishing and nourishing is like giving the best sustenance, giving the true sustenance to something, and cherishing. Cherishing is even, I feel, sometimes greater than love. When you cherish something, it's of inestimable worth, you know. There's nothing that can compare to cherish. So, in the very deep, deep, deep connection and silence, I think we all feel, like Baba said, I love all of you on that night, you know, and says, you feel cherished, and not only by God and Brahma Baba, but by drama. Have you ever had that feeling that drama cherishes you? Values the soul very deeply. Nature cherishes the soul, the Brahman souls, because the ones who then have the right consciousness, they're able to turn things for the better, not just for other human souls, but also for nature and the elements. They're the turning points. They're the turning points of democratic, you know, like a benevolence for everybody, for everything. So drama cherishes those souls. Drama cherishes all the souls. And again, one thing that we learn from Shiv Baba, and Brahma Baba had to practice this, I'm sure, himself, as he got opposition, he got this, and he says, every soul plays their part. Every soul is unique. But you do this, of course, with respect. You know, there's different ways to do it. When somebody irritates you a lot, says, yes, every soul plays their part. You know, every soul plays their part. You know, everybody has their role. This is not, you know, It's not like that. You know, really. And every soul has a value, every soul has some worth. That's why they exist. And if I can tune into that, Aru, I can remain detached, loving, and get on with my part. Detached and a well-wisher. Because someone said, loving is a bit high. I can't really do it. It's okay, well-wisher. Be detached and be a well-wisher. And get on with my part. And it's not, some people say something, it's what God wants me to do. I don't know if it's exactly that. Yes, certainly, but God will want me to do what will fulfill me, you know, not what will fulfill Him. God doesn't need fulfillment in that sense, but He feels, you know, yes, that all souls take whatever they can now. It's that time now. So, listening to Baba, then I'm able to understand what is my part. What is my part? That is, what will give me the sense of contentment and fulfillment? So deep, that I will never have to compare, and I'll never have to have sorrow about what another soul may be doing, even to me. I have found my equanimity in that awareness. First, I'm a soul, of course, and those qualities, but then the unique in the part that it plays. Egolessly. Because such a soul who egolessly accepts and is aware of their part will embrace the parts of others. Angels embrace, that's their biggest service. Their biggest service is embracing, not flying. That's how, you know, that's why Christian souls, Muslim souls, you know, Hindu tradition, even in ancient Egypt and ancient Greece, and even in India, they had these flying beings with their wings stretched out, you know, and sometimes you have them, you know, holding, embracing. So Brahma Baba teaches us this, you know. He's the first apprentice of God, and in his apprenticeship he becomes equal. Okay, not God, of course, but equal in the sense of the purity of the sanskaras and selfless. God is God always, it's separate. It's very important to understand the difference, but also how they are combined. It's like the individuality of a soul can never be taken away. No matter how similar souls may be, each soul is always individual. And that's what makes the drama function. Otherwise, there would be, and this is what people make mistakes in certain cultures, is to create uniformity. And they think uniformity is harmony, they think uniformity is unity. Respect for difference creates harmony, and purity of heart creates unity. Unity is not sameness. So Brahma Baba teaches us these things, you know? Well, this is what I felt. He's teaching me these things. Don't you feel that? Is, you know, Shiva Baba is giving a lot of power, a lot of love, and Brahma Baba is making the soul into an angel, but also more humane. Be a bit more tender. A bit more affectionate, you know? A bit more generous. Make your heart flexible. Close your mouth. Have an open heart, but not an open mouth. Very often. So the blueprint of the angel is Brahma Baba, but also we are different. You know? So sometimes that's very difficult for the human being to do. To be able to appreciate a blueprint, see the example, and at the same time realize how they are unique as well within that. But that's how it works. Okay. Om Shanti. Have I was thinking that now we have some meditation, and then I have some questions for silent reflection, and then a little bit of discussion with yourselves, and then I was thinking leaving it more open to questions today, so there may be many questions about different things. So doing that. Okay. So just quiet and think, you know, like let's go into this whole feeling of atmic energy, subtle feeling, to be in the world, the angelic world, Brahma Baba, you know, his angelic state, how he got, I mean, I don't have to go into how he got there, but the fact that he, a human soul, did get there, and he tells us we can get there, let me have that faith and see my final form. So just quiet. Silent. I become silent. One breath, 1 second, just one thought. I am peace. I am a soul. Let me create this space of inner quietness. Quiet space. One thought, peace, harmony. Thank you. great tranquility. I am tranquil. Your personality, your sanskaras of the purest love, the purest freedom, the deepest peace, this beyond remembrance now. I am in union with you. Shanti. So here's the questions for this next 20 minutes. Personal reflection. And as we have said, the questions stimulate movement inside myself. And it's nothing to do with answers. It's more to do with shifts of awareness. So, first one. What do you feel was Brahma Baba's most valuable quality? And why? You have I think you get the questions, but I'll just go through them just to explain a bit. What do you feel was Brahma Baba's most valuable quality and why? For you, you know? Don't give a formula answer. Give a formula response. Huh? Give a contemplative response. It's very useful for the self. And two, what relationship with Brahma Baba attracts you the most and why? For example, Dada, the elder brother, or the father, or the mother, or the friend, or the teacher, etc. You can add, Brahma Baba as the apprentice, you know, Brahma Baba as the jeweler, or whatever. And C, in silence, now experience the blessing of Bab Dada's heart. Experience them. Of course, it requires some reflective and then contemplative thought, you know. What is Bab Dada's heart? What's there? What is it? And you may even stimulate the self to ask, you know, exactly what is a blessing? How does it work? What is a blessing? For example, never mix up praise and blessing, they're very different things. A person may praise you, but they won't bless you. Yes. The praise is external, but something else may be inside. When somebody blesses you, it's from their heart, you know. It's a very, something very valuable they appreciate in you. They really, really appreciate it and esteem it. Then they bless you. People do it. People also bless. But the blessings I receive in the space, the sacred space of the heart of the angel, the heart of God. What is this? You know, it's a sacred space, these two spaces. What blessing do I feel I get from them? The angel and God. Rush is contemplated. Is that okay? Okay. So again, the importance of silence, I'll reiterate. And, you see, if I don't let my intellect move a few centimeters, although you can't say centimeters to the intellect, but anyway, what I mean, if I just let it move a little bit more deeply, you know, shifts of perspective and understanding happen. When we said the other day, lazy intellect is the one who doesn't do this. They remain with superficial churnings or reflections. They don't go, that science, paying attention, that lets them go a little bit deeper. We all have the capacity to go very high. But to go very high, you have to go very deep. And the reason why it is number wise, because, you know, Baba says, I don't think number wise, you know. But the reason why it's number wise is, it's really actually the depth, you know. Number is linked, you know. Number wise, wisdom. The numbers according to the wisdom a soul has. but and that wisdom is attainable and it is accessible. I just have to make, because the practice is subtle. That's why it's missed. It's a subtle, give time to myself, give that silence to myself. It's a subtle practice. So often it's missed. Okay. Om Shanti. So 20 minutes. I will be back at 10 to 12. And so it's a time also you can take your breaks.